Everybody, it is so good to see each and every one of you this morning. Thank you, Jonah, for announcements and for prayer today, and glad that you would be here today. You not only got your clocks changed, but you got your sidewalk shoveled, you got your snow tires on, you all made it. And so good to see each and every one of you this morning. We're going to do something a little different just before we get into the message this morning, and we did this in first service. But I want to do it again. I'd like you just to bow your heads with me, if you would. Just bow your heads with me. And I want to give you three words this morning. Three words. Here's the first word, heavy. Heavy. The second word is hard. And the third word is hurt. Heavy, hard, and hurt. At any given point in our lives, we find ourselves facing off with heavy things, with hard things, or with just things that just flat out hurt. And what I'd like to do today is I'd like us just to spend some time praying around those things. So I'm going to ask you to do something courageous, but I promise I'm not going to embarrass you, okay? If you're here and you're facing something that's heavy, hard, or hurts, I'd like you just to stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. We're not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come around with a microphone. Not going to any of that. Nobody's going to reach for your wallet, but heavy, hard, or hurts, just stand to your feet. Yeah. Now, if you're close to these people, if you know them, you can put your hand on them. If you don't know them, just extend your hand to them, okay? And just want to make sure people don't stand alone in this. Let's bow our heads and pray. Come to me, Jesus says, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your souls. So today, Jesus, we bring heavy to you. We take your yoke upon us, for your yoke is easy, your burden is light. There is a burden that is not light, it is a heavy burden, and there are many who carry it. But today we come to you as the lifter of that. For anything that's heavy in this room today, we know, God, that you are greater. For anything that's hard in this room, there's things that go so far beyond our own understanding. There's things that go beyond our own comprehension. There's roads that none of us would want to travel. There's ailments that we face that none of us would want to carry. And so for the hard today, we give that to you. And I think about hurt in people's lives. Hurt. Wounds that maybe nobody ever sees. Scars that nobody knows about. What they said when you were young. What he did. What happened there. We give it to you. We're saddened today to hear of Donna Govert's passing this week. We pray for her family. We pray you would bring comfort and peace to her life in every way. We pray for Jordan and Alyssa Baker today as they're with Alyssa's family as they mourn the passing of Alyssa's grandfather. We give heavy and hard and hurt to you. We give heavy and hard and hurt to you. And Jesus, when we don't know what to pray, you intercede on our behalf. When all we have are groanings, when all we have are mixed up words that seem not to make sense, you take all of that and you intercede before the Father for us. So we love you today. We love you today. You can have a seat, everybody. I want us just to sing that chorus through that we sang earlier, and I want us to sing it and just sing it as as a reminder. Sing it as a reminder that God is with you. The God of angel armies is with you. He is by your side. You are not alone. You have never lived an unloved day. You have never endured a trial that God is just like, hey, I don't care. God cares deeply about what it is that you face, and he longs for all of us to turn to him, to run to him in the midst of it all. So let's sing together a couple times through, and then some of you were like, is he going to preach? I'm going to preach a little bit, so just a little bit. So let's sing together.
I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. And nothing formed against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. Nothing born against me shall stand. You hold the whole world in your hands. I'm holding on to your promises. You are faithful. You are faithful. You are faithful. Before me, I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The God of angel armies is always by my side.
Just before we jump into the message, I'm going to share some good news with you. How about some good news? House of Hope dinner happened this past week. So many of you were part of that House of Hope dinner. You were table hosts, you attended, and where's Nicole? I'm not going to embarrass you, Nicole, but Nicole, I'm so proud of you. You did such a good job coordinating all of that, and I just embarrassed you. I'm sorry. I just said I wasn't going to, but I just did. But thank you, thank you, thank you. And it was just a great, great time, and the dinner was just a super, super thing. The program was so fantastic. I'm excited too. I would want you to know this, and I don't tell you this to brag. I would just want to know this kind of stuff if I was sitting where you sit. We have a little fund that we started during COVID, and this little fund is called Love the North. And so we have a benevolence fund, which largely helps people that are part of our church that are facing hard things, you know, trying to pay their light bill, putting gas in the car, that kind of thing. We have this other fund, the Love the North Fund, is more kind of geared toward our community, if you will. Like, we'll just bless anybody with this. And when I heard that Ben Fuller was coming, I said to Kari, I said, Kari, we got to find out how many guys are at the House of Hope. How many people are connected with the House of Hope? And Ben Fuller's story is a story of addiction and freedom over an addiction to cocaine, and just a story that's common in our area. And so we were able, when I say we, you all did this. We were able to buy tickets for all the guys at the House of Hope to come to that concert on that night, and just to give them tickets to bless them. So I think that's a really cool thing. And I gave it to Mike Thompson the other night. He was speechless. Literally speechless, because he had just had surgery and they told him not to speak. So he was speechless. So he told me, he literally looked at me and said, "Chad, I'm speechless." And he was. And so anyway, I just want to say, way to go, way to be generous as a church. Have you ever watched a movie and you're in the middle of the movie, or even at the beginning of the movie, and you've asked this question right here: how is this going to end? Have you ever asked that question? Jack in our family loves to watch movies. One of my favorite things about the winter months is during the winter months, we'll kind of, you know, put a movie on in the evening, we'll watch it together. And a while ago, we were watching a movie, and I found myself saying, "How is this going to end?" I didn't know, one, how it was going to turn out, and two, I didn't know if I had the stamina to make it to the end of the movie. And all of us have said that at some point. We've watched a film and we've said, "How is this going to end?" Or we've read a book and we've said, "How is this going to end?" Or we've watched a sports game and we've said, "How is this going to end?" Or we watch the news, we hear about things happening in Ukraine and we say, "How is this going to end?" Or the Chinese spy balloon and we say, "How is this going to end?" My buddy texted me during that. He said, "If that Chinese spy balloon flies over my house, it will go down," he said. "It will go down." Some of you are wondering right now, will Aaron Rodgers be a Green Bay Packer next season? How is this going to end? He's going to be a Jet. That's what he's going to be. All of us wonder how it's going to end, and all of us wonder, like, what the end is going to look like of the story. And if you've ever asked that question, I want you to know you are not alone. In fact, Jesus is just 3 days away from the cross. He's in the final hours of his life. His disciples were wondering the very same thing. How is this going to end? And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 13 that Jesus was leaving the temple, and one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone will be left on another. Everyone will be thrown down." And as Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when these things will happen, and what will be the sign that they're about to be fulfilled?" And Jesus gives them an answer that may have freaked them out. Jesus gives them an answer that certainly confused them a bit, undoubtedly startled them a bit, and maybe even unsettled them a bit. They're sitting on this hillside. They're looking out over the temple, and the disciples are looking at Jesus, this small little group that come to him, and they say to him, "How is this going to end? How's this end?" Now, you can read all of this in Mark 13. Mark 13, verses 5 through 31. You can read all of it, but let me give you the high points. Jesus says, here's how it's going to end. "There will be those who come in my name, and they will claim to be me, but they will not be me. There will be those who are deceived. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Don't freak out. These things must happen, and then the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation. Kingdom will rise against kingdom. There will be earthquakes, and there will be famines in various places. And these are just the beginnings of labor pains." Ladies, do you remember the beginnings of labor pains? He says it's just the start. Then, he says, "You must be on your guard. You'll be handed over to the local councils. You'll be flogged in the synagogues. And the gospel will be preached to all nations. And whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say." I like that it says whenever. In other words, like, it's going to happen. When you're arrested and brought to trial, don't worry about what to say. Whatever's given you at the time, it's not you speaking. It's the Holy Spirit. "Brother will betray brother to death. A father will betray his child. Children will rebel against their parents, and they will have them put to death. And everyone will hate you because of me. But the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." Aren't you glad you dug out this morning to come to church? "Everyone will hate you because of me. But when this happens, don't turn back. There'll be false messiahs and false prophets, and they'll appear, and they will perform signs and wonders simply to deceive. So be on your guard. Now you'd say, okay, this is the very beginning of labor pains. Then things get really vivid. Following that distress, Jesus says, the sun will be darkened. The moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and heavenly bodies will be shaken, and feet of snow will fall in March. True. That's not in the Bible. I put that in there this morning. Feet of snow will fall in March. At that time, I just wanted to make sure you all were awake. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and great glory. And he will send his angels, and he will gather his people from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heavens. And when you see these things coming, or these things happening, you know that it's near. It's right at the door. It's right at the door. Now, Jesus goes on. He goes on and he says this, because undoubtedly the disciples are looking at him and like, you just said a lot, Jesus, so when does this happen? How does this end? Not just how does this end, but when does this end? Jesus says this in verse 32. About that day or hour, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. So be on guard, be alert, for you do not know when that time will come. Then Jesus tells a story. He always tells a story. The Bible tells us he never taught them without telling them a story. It's like a man, he says, who goes away. He leaves the house and he puts his servants in charge, each with their own assigned task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, he says, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. And if he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch, watch, watch. Jesus just said a lot. A lot. I want to talk about the second half of what Jesus said this morning. All through Mark 13, we are told again and again and again to be on your guard, to be on your guard, to be on your guard, to be alert, to keep watch, to watch and be watchful. We're told this again and again and again and again. And when I see something show up again and again and again and again in the passage of scripture that I'm reading, I start circling and I say, what is Jesus talking about? Here's what Jesus is talking about. He is talking about followers of his embodying what we might call return readiness. Return readiness. He's saying, I want followers of Jesus, I want followers of mine to be ready for what's to come. I want followers of mine to be ready for the day when Christ our life appears. I want followers of mine to be return ready. Return ready. So what does a return ready follower of Jesus look like? There's probably a lot in this passage we could unpack. Let me give you three little nuggets that I kind of mined out this week. Here's one. Return-ready followers of Jesus live with a sense of spiritual anticipation. Jesus says, be on guard, be alert, watch. You don't know. You don't know when that time will come. Again and again and again, Scripture tells us of the second coming of Jesus. We have a holiday for the first coming of Jesus. It's called Christmas. The second coming, we all get a little weirded out about. We all get a little nervous. Some of you right now are like, what's he going to say next? Here's what I'm going to say next. Be ready. Spiritual anticipation. The posture of a follower of Jesus ought to be a person who's ready and who's keeping watch and looking to the sky, one eye to the sky and one eye here, saying, perhaps today is the day. The Bible tells us again and again and again that that day is coming. And early Christians lived with an anticipation of the return of Jesus. They would greet each other at the beginning of the service by saying Maranatha. And they would greet each other as they left with the word Maranatha, which simply means Lord, come. There was an anticipation of the return of Jesus, and it was palpable in their midst. They longed for that day. Charles Spurgeon says, "The hour of his appearing is not revealed in order that we may always stand on tiptoe, expecting it to be today," that we stand on tiptoe, expecting him to come today. So I just wonder, how's your anticipation level? I can tell you this, things in this world have a way of choking out spiritual anticipation. Earthly things. I'm not against money, and I'm not against stuff. I'm not against vacations. I'm not against boats. I'm not against golf clubs. I'm not against any of those things. But they have a way of choking out a sense of spiritual anticipation in our lives, where we get a little tied here. We get a little at home here. We get a little settled here. And I just want to remind you, we're not taking any of that with us when we go. You know the old saying, I've never seen a U-Haul hooked up to the back of a hearse. I've never seen that in my life. And it's true. So return-ready followers of Jesus live with a sense of spiritual anticipation. Second, return-ready followers of Jesus live with a sense of mission urgency. Jesus says there's a man, and he leaves, and he gives everybody a job in the house. And he says, y'all got to do that job. You have been given a mission. Be about that mission. You servants are in charge. You have been given a task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch, because you say, I don't know when he's coming back. He may be coming back in the middle of the night. He may come back in the afternoon. I don't know when he's coming back. This is a call to diligence in the work. This is a call to focus in the work. And you say, well, I don't have a mission. Yes, you do. Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You say, well, I don't have a mission. Yes, you do. You say, I don't even have a house. Yes, you do. Jesus said, this is my house. I am building a body for me, a church for myself that would worship and praise and give glory to me in every way. And Jesus says, if this person comes suddenly, if the master shows up suddenly, do not let him find you asleep. Do not let him find you asleep. Anybody ever watch the Andy Griffith Show? Anybody remember when Asa is guarding the bank, the collective wealth of Mayberry is on the line, and Barney walks in the door, and Asa is sound asleep? Jesus says, do not let him find you sleeping. Sleeping. To stay awake means to be constantly alert, attentive, and watchful. It means we're not spiritual slackers. I think there's a sense of mission urgency in this, friends. Romans says this, the hour has come to wake from your sleep. Revelation says, wake up and strengthen what remains. The Lord is looking for wide awake workers. You say, well, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I don't know when Jesus is coming back, so it doesn't really matter if I do anything. Baloney. That's a Greek word, baloney. You say, well, I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I need a date. I need to know when he is, and if I have a date, then I'll do something about it. Baloney. Jesus would say to you today, listen, we don't know. Jesus himself says, I don't even know. Only the Father knows. So be alert and be eager and be ready for his coming. Be on mission, mission urgent. Jesus and Julie are very close in my thinking. Julie was leaving the house a while back. And she was going to be gone for some time. She said, I have three things I need you to do. This is your mission, should you accept it. I didn't have a choice in accepting it. She said, I need you to do something with the laundry. I need you to take care of the dishes, and I need you to take care of this. Three things, just three things. And I did what I often will do. I said, I got it. Like steel trap. I got it right there, steel trap. Not going to forget that. She left, and I calculated how much time I had. And I laid down and took a nap on the couch. Soon, I got a phone call much later, and she said, "Hey, by the way, I'm almost home. I'll be back soon." I woke up, and I went into panic mode because I had been assigned a task, and I had done nothing with it. Julie walked in, just kind of looked around, just could tell I had done nothing with it. Don't let him find you asleep, friends. Don't let him find you asleep. The scriptures tell us, love God and love people. Don't let him find you asleep. We are to be people who are actively seeking and actively on purpose, on mission. Last one, it's already there. Return ready followers of Jesus live with an enduring spirit. An enduring spirit. This one jumped off the page to me. The world that we live in is wrecked by pain and suffering. I mean, just wrecked by it. But the return of Christ promises us that weeping may endure for the night, but there is joy, and it is coming in the morning, and that everything we face, everything we experience, everything we encounter as followers of Jesus is just temporary. I had a friend who used to say it this way, it's all temp. I'm like, what do you mean it's all temp? He'd say, it's all temp. Like, all temp, what does that mean? It's all temporary. It's here now, but it's not forever for the follower of Jesus. Jesus' return promises us that the pain that you face today will not last forever. The things that you face today, that one day he will return through the clouds. It will not last forever. It's temporary. The Bible calls these things light and momentary. And you say, well, I don't feel light and momentary, but in light of the eternity that is to come, they're so light and momentary. I visited a man one time in the nursing home, and he endured countless days of suffering. Like people having to clean up after him, people having to take care of him, people having to bathe him, all of these kinds of things. And I said to him, how do you make it through day by day? You're bedridden, your mind is sharp, but your body is broken. How do you make it through day by day by day? And this is what he told me. He said, I can endure anything, Chad, if I know that it isn't going to be for that long. And I was like, well, this has been your whole life. He said, no, this isn't forever. One day Jesus is coming back. When Jesus comes back, when Christ our life appears, it'll all be better. He said, when I'm most in pain, I simply look at the ceiling and I cry out to God and I say, God, Jesus, you are coming, and maybe it's today. Cornelius Plantinga says the second coming of Jesus is good news for people whose lives are filled with bad news. The second coming of Jesus is good news for people whose lives are filled with bad news. And if you're here today and there's loneliness in your life, anxiety in your spirit, chronic pain in your body, just disappointment everywhere you look, I want you to know it will not last forever. If life hasn't turned out the way that you thought life was supposed to turn out, the promise of the second coming is that the good old days are ahead of us and not behind us. Where there will be no more mourning, and there will be no more sorrow, and there will be no more death, and there will be no more loss. But in this moment, it feels heavy and hard and hurtful. And in the midst of it all, you can have an enduring spirit that says, I'm looking forward to that day. Things may be broken right now, but I'm looking forward to that day. Now, I may have 5 feet of snow in my driveway in August, but I'm looking forward to that day. We may never have an Easter egg hunt with grass again, but I'm looking forward to that day. Have you ever had a day? I mean, just a day. Like a day that you would trade away, and you just give it up. You just be like, oh, that just wasn't the best day. My Wednesday this week was rugged. I have my own stuff that I've shared with you pretty openly. I got my own anxiety journeys. It's part of the reason why I sit down, so I don't run all over the platform when I'm up here. And Wednesday was a day. And I'll spare you all the details, but nearing the end of that day, I found myself just saying this to Jesus. If it's true that one day the return of Christ sets everything right and sets everything the way it should be, and I believe it is, and if it's true that Christ went all the way to the cross and hung on the cross to sustain and forgive so that anyone who calls on his name can be saved, and if that's true, that I can endure, that my friend in the nursing home can endure anything he faces. Remember that night before I fell asleep, I just said, Jesus, I'll get through this with your help. I look to you. The promise of the second coming is good news. It's good news for people who live their lives filled with bad news. One day there will be no more mourning, and there will be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more grief, and there'll be no more pain. And we long for that day. We have one eye peeled toward heaven saying, maybe today's the day, and one eye focused here on earth saying, God, what do you have for us today? Let's bow our heads. Pray together. When I was a young man, I used to get nervous when I would hear messages about the return of Jesus. I would think Jesus is going to show up at the wrong time. My sports team is finally going to win the championship, and it's going to be right at the end of the game, and then Jesus is going to come back, or I'm going to meet the girl of my dreams, and Jesus is going to come back and ruin everything. I want you to know you can look forward to that day. And you need not fear that day. You can place your full weight on the person of Jesus. You can trust in him, surrender to him, fix your eyes on him. And when you do that, and I can assure you, you will still have hard days. You will still have days you wish you could trade. But it will not last forever. One day there will be a day, where there is no mourning and no sorrow and no death. And Jesus comes back and he sets everything right. So today, if you've never trusted Jesus, today would be a good day to trust him. If you've never given your life to Jesus, today would be a good day to give your life to Jesus. If you've never gotten serious about following God, today would be the day to say, I'm getting serious about following after you, Jesus. I pray that that's true for all of us in this room today. Let's sing together.